We're in Colossians 3, 1 to 10, and we're using the New Living Translation. And the heading is Living the New Life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for the greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do those things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. This is God's Word.
Thank you, Jen. Good morning, everyone. I also want to thank all of you for being such good singers. And it doesn't matter whether we have a full band or we have a piano, you come ready to sing. And it's so great to be part of a church that comes on Sunday morning ready to declare, I am so glad you are God, and I am not. So come on in and take charge. I love that. So thank you to all of you who sing so heartily. I'd also like to thank all of you. You know, I was thinking this morning, I've been here for 9 years, and there are some things that happen that convince me that you actually love me. And one of those things happened this week. Many of you have come and said, you are praying for me and for my family. And if you are new here and you didn't know, my sister suddenly passed away in the last week and a half or so. And the funeral was this last week, and so I went with Jennifer to the Edmonton area and conducted that service. And I appreciate all of your prayers, and especially for my mom, who is now, I think, at almost 80, trying to figure out what her life is going to be about after taking care of my disabled sister for 50 years. So keep her in your prayers. Thank you very much. So let's get on with the message here today. What do you tend to do when you are angry? We all have our thing. We all do different things when it comes to anger. We all experience anger. What do you do? Do you kind of brood, go off into a corner, just get all sullen and quiet and grumpy? Is that you? Or are you more like the person who likes to throw things and cause a real tantrum? Do you turn red in the face? Some of us, when we are angry, we turn to communication. I'm not talking about the four-letter kind, but some of us may do that too. But communication. And that's what we're talking about today, is how we respond to anger, because some of us tend to move into slander. I am reminded of a story about a bride here in BC who was unhappy with her wedding photos, and so she refused to pay. And then the photographer, in turn, didn't hand over the pictures. Stalemate. So what do you do? Well, the bride had an idea, being angry as she was. She thought she'd turn to social media and start a campaign against the photographer, and made accusations about the photographer's integrity and ethics and it worsened the photographer's reputation. Finally, she started losing business and said, I got to do something. So they went to court. And the court determined that the bride was largely making up stuff, and it damaged the photographer's business. And when all was said and done, the bride ended up paying over $100,000 for her pictures of her wedding. Slander, you see, can cost you. We are continuing on in our Flip Side series, looking at the sins that drive us apart as a church. And this is a big deal. The Bible was written for relationship, our relationship with God, and our relationship primarily with each other as a church. And today we are looking at the sins of slander, unkind speech, malicious behavior, and gossip. And these are all based on the sin lists. You know, in the New Testament, you'll come across some of these, where it says, here are the things to avoid. Ding, 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 ding. And I kept track of those. I looked at all those, and then we're looking at the ones that are most mentioned. Kind of group them all together. So let's start off with slander. What does the Bible have to say about slander? Well, this is what Jesus had to say. He said, it is what comes from inside you that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft. You can tell this is one of those lists. Murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy. There it is, slander, pride, and foolishness. Now, if you don't know what slander is, this is what slander is. And this is important. Slander is a false statement. It is a false spoken statement that hurts a person's good name, character, job, or standing in the community. That's what the bride did in that story, slandered the photographer. And sadly, research tells us that these false statements travel faster than true statements. Did you know that? In a study by MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, tracked 126,000 stories on X, formerly Twitter. And they found that false stories travel faster than true stories. The average false story took 10 hours to reach 1,500 people, but 60 hours for true stories, six times as long for true stories. Oh, but it gets worse. False stories also spread farther than true stories. 35% farther, a bigger audience for false stories. True stories rarely get shared up to 1,000 people, but the top 1% of false stories got shared up to 100,000 people. With all that, and this is the real kicker, something called the anchoring bias. You may not have heard of the anchoring bias. There are many biases that you and I have to deal with. The anchoring bias says what we hear first is what we tend to cling to as true. And it's very hard after you hear something the first time for it to be dislodged even by facts afterwards. So in the photography incident, it would be very hard as a prospective husband or bride and groom to look at that photographer and hire her because they'd already heard the slander. And they already had an idea about that photographer. And it's very hard to shake. Even if they heard story after story after story of satisfied customers afterwards, it's very hard to shake that first thing. That is the anchoring bias. Can we say it together? The anchoring bias. Need it more than that. You need to remember. Hit one more time. The anchoring bias. Now, you can impress people all week long by telling them about the anchoring bias. And, even more impressive, you can start to pay attention to how it plays a role in the way you think about people and groups. Now, because first impressions matter. Warnings against slander. Here we go. The Bible has a lot to say about this little activity we call slander. Let me give you just a few. Hiding hatred, it says, makes you a liar. Slandering others makes you a fool. Isn't that nice? Oh, uplifting. Here we go. It is foolish to belittle one's neighbor. A sensible person keeps quiet. And for those of us who may think slander is no big deal, it says telling lies about others, that's slander, telling lies about others, is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with sharp arrows. It's pretty serious, yeah? But get this, it's not just the production of slander. It is the receiving of slander as well. Watch this now. Proverbs 17:4, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. Now, understand what this is saying. It means that when we listen to gossip or slander, it's a comment on what's going on inside of us. We like it. We want more of it. It reminds me of this meme that I came across that says, you probably can't read that from where you are, but it says, "Don't tell me what they said about me. Tell me why they were so comfortable to say it around you." Ooh, sends shivers up your spine, doesn't it? Something drives us as human beings to participate in gossip and slander. Do you know what it is? If you don't, I'll tell you towards the end. Next, the next two sins that we're looking at, I'm just going to cover really briefly. They are mentioned as unkind speech. This is Peter writes to the church and he says, "So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech." Now, I think unkind speech is just a catch-all for things like gossip and slander, for sure. The next one is malicious behavior. And this is what Paul writes to the church in Colossae. He says, "But now is the time to get rid of," and you notice a trend here? It says we've got to get rid of these things. "Get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior," there it is, "slander," once again, "and dirty language. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." Now, malicious means there's intent. There's an intent to harm feelings or property. So it's not accidental. It is thought out. It is purposeful. It is targeted. This is revenge behavior, getting even. And did you know, sometimes even Christians. What? I know. I'm shocked too. Sometimes Christians can even participate in revenge behavior, malicious behavior. I know. It's crazy. So, note as well, at the end of this, it's saying that the answer is to be transformed, to change. Yeah? To change. Change for the Christian is necessary. It's expected for the follower of Jesus. All right, finally, we get to the other one that we're going to spend most time on is gossip. And we're going to spend most of our time talking about slander and gossip. Now, gossip is different from slander. Gossip is the passing along of unproven rumors about another person's private life. And the Bible warns about this. Why? Because gossip ruins relationships. It's just that simple. In fact, Jeff Robinson, in his book Taming the Tongue, How the Gospel Transforms Our Talk, he said, "Slander and gossip destroy more relationships and cause more church splits than any other spiritual disease." You want to know what's a threat to Nanaimo Alliance Church? Gossip and slander. Gossip and slander. Let's see what the Bible has to say about gossip. It says, "A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends." It says it right there. Gossip wrecks relationships. "When arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret." That's what gossip is. Don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never regain your good reputation. You will never be trusted again. "Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels in churches disappear when gossip stops." Now, a lot of people confuse gossip and slander. Just like a few weeks ago, do you remember we talked about, what was it? I can't remember. It was there. I should have written it down. It might come to me later. Anyway, but to distinguish between gossip and slander, I want to compare them side by side. Jealousy and envy, that was it. Jealousy and envy. It says, so gossip can be true, but it is shared inappropriately. Slander is untrue statements designed to harm. And if you remember just that one, that'll keep them separate. But let's go on. Gossip is motivated by curiosity, bonding with listeners, and passing time. Slander is motivated by hurt with the intent to damage. That's what that bride did. Hurt with the intent to damage. Gossip betrays trust, hurts feelings, and spreads unverified rumors. Slander can legally incriminate you. Gossip, one last time, gossip contributes primarily to rumors and assumptions about a person. Slander contributes primarily to the distrust of a person. Okay, so keep all that in mind. You're starting to sense a difference between gossip and slander? Which one is true or could be true? Gossip. Which one is always false? Slander. Thank you. Okay. Now, time for a fun fact. You ready for a fun fact? Okay, fun fact. Fallen angel Lucifer in Hebrew is Satan, and in Greek is Diabolos. And in Greek, Diabolos means slanderer. So when we slander each other in the church, we are speaking the devil's language. This is his deal. He comes up with false things, and he's constantly accusing us. Constantly accusing us with false things. Now, when it comes to gossip and slander, I'm going to go out on a limb here for just a moment. I'm going to say that when it comes to gossip and slander, I'm not talking to some of us in the room. I'm talking to all of us in the room. Because I think at one point in time, every single person in this room, including the person talking, has succumbed to gossip and slander. Should I be fairly safe with that assumption? Okay. Appreciate that. That's good. The question is, why do we do it? What's the attraction? Why is it so prevalent, even in the church? Did you know that slander is mentioned as a sign of the end times in 2 Timothy? Did you know that? As though slander is just going to get worse. The internet has certainly helped. We know that gossip and slander drives us away from each other, so why do we do it? I mean, this series is about ridding ourselves of the things that break us apart as a church so we can be stronger together and follow God's will for us. The Bible is written, as I said already, to strengthen relationships with God and with each other, our forever family. So why do we do it? I'm almost going to answer that question. One more thing. Just one more thing. Because there is a necessary condition in us that has to take place that fosters gossip and slander. It has to be in place. And you know what that factor is? It is this. Superiority. We have to believe in our heart of hearts that we are better than the person we're talking about. It's true. We believe that we would never do what they did or never say what they said. We have to believe that no matter what we sing about on a Sunday morning, no matter what we recite, no matter what we tell ourselves, deep down inside, we believe we are superior. I mean, if, especially in church relationships, if we truly believed that we were sullying the reputation of a fellow child of God, someone equally saved, equally loved by God, equally adopted into God's family, equally protected by Him, equally made in His image, we'd never pass along unverified personal information through gossip, and we'd never tell false stories that damage their reputation through slander. We wouldn't dare. Since we are all made in God's image, all people, that alone should put the brakes on gossip and slander. But deep inside of us, that sense of superiority can creep up even in the most super-duper, holy roller Christian leader types. Why? For many reasons, but I want to just talk about one. I think this is why we do it. Other than sin, yes, that's the big category. But here's why we do it. All people are different. And we come into a church like this, and nobody fits in. Nobody fits in, because we're all different. We are, as I said before, we are all weirdos. Thank you for someone who listened. We're all weirdos, every single one of us. We all bring our personal brand of weird to a church like this. So how do we overcome that? How do we overcome that? Well, we do it. We overcome our differences through scapegoating, through gossip and slander. We manage to find a way to aim all of our anger, opposition, and ridicule towards one person or one group. And this scapegoating takes two people who are weirdos, who may not be aligned, but it aligns them up in that moment when they are in opposition to that person or that thing or that group. There's a sense of camaraderie that takes place in that. So gossip and slander are simply ways we use to, in our own superiority, put others down together. It gives the momentary facade of real relationship. In fact, when people don't mature, this scapegoating can become, this finding fault in others can continue to be the basis of the relationship for years. I've noticed this. You can go and listen in on groups that gather for coffee on a regular basis. Quite often, the basis of conversation is, who are we going to put down today? Is it politicians? Is it police? Is it pastors? Who is it? Let's put them down. And in that moment, we're aligned together. And we feel like this is relationship. This is bonding. We hate the same people. And so we slander them and we gossip about them. However, scapegoating like this leaves the relationship stuck. The relationship will never move past, never get to a deep level, because it's just based on who we don't like and who we can put down, who we can prove our superiority over today. Worse than that, when you are engaged with other people, I think if we were really smart, we would know, right? This makes sense. If I'm talking with this person and they are sharing personal details about someone else, what are they doing with my personal information? If they're making up stuff and slander about this other person and putting them down, what are they doing about me in conversations that they have? So it should provide a little twinge of distrust in that relationship. So you will never truly feel close to that person. It wrecks relationships. And you will certainly never, ever want to oppose them. Remember we said in our friendship covenant, I will tell you the truth of what God says? That's an important part of any real friendship in the church. But you would never dare do that in a group that aligns with scapegoating, because you'll be next, right? You're going to be the next topic of conversation. Superiority makes us scapegoat others through gossip and slander. And in the process, we dehumanize that other person. We make them less than us. And dehumanizing is fertile ground for justifying cruelties. As we dehumanize other people, we become angrier and more rigid, less likely to listen to opposing ideas. We become less compassionate. We see ourselves as the good guy. and them as the bad guys. But now that I've thoroughly depressed you, there is hope for us in the church. There is great hope for us. Even after our tendencies towards superiority and the anchoring bias favoring first information, we have hope. And the hope is found in the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ reminds us of our lack of superiority. Amen? It eliminates the need to scapegoat others through gossip or slander. The gospel reminds us of God's grace, his unearned kindness that was shown to all of us. And many of us in this room have experienced this grace. We sing about it. We recite scripture about it. We hold it in high regard. We include it in our statement of beliefs. But honestly, you and I need to experience it. It needs to melt our hearts. We need to come face to face with God and his amazing grace for us, that he saved us because we needed saving. By thanking God daily for the cross, for salvation, for his undeserved kindness, we are intentionally walking away from gossip and slander. And we are being transformed by the Spirit to be humble. Jesus said, essentially, I'm a doctor, and I'm coming for those who know they are sick. Oh, how quickly we Christians can start to feel like we don't need his medicine. The gospel fosters strong relationships. Do you see how? With God and with each other. There's a real bonding, not based on scapegoating others, but on vulnerability, transparency, confession, things that are only possible through trust. So when you find yourself sliding towards gossip or slander, do something powerful. Do something powerful. Ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I sharing unverified personal information? That's gossip. Why am I passing along false information that makes another person look bad? Slander. You can take it one step further, and I pray all of us would. When people gossip or slander to you, ask yourself, why should they feel comfortable sharing that with me? What is it about me that is inviting that? That the look on my face says, more, please. Ideally, people should know that we as followers of Jesus do not want to participate in gossip and slander. We don't want to listen to gossip or slander. And we want to take the opportunity to let people know. Not in a judgy way, but just saying, yeah, I'm just not interested in that. Thanks. Instead, may we use our mouths to encourage each other and build each other up and strengthen each other. This is what the Bible calls us to do. This is what bonds us together. May the gospel, and this is so important, listen to this. May the gospel not just be a story that saves us. May it be the story that transforms us. As we think about it more and more, as we contemplate the fact that Jesus died for me because I needed saving, that puts me on a level equal with everyone else. It eliminates gossip and slander. May the gospel bond us together with its teaching of equality and similarity. And we are going to now remember the cross together. So if you are serving at the tables, I'm going to get you to go there right now. I want us to meditate on this verse. It says, when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. The cross is to remind us that we are no better. We are not superior to anyone. Gossip and slander depend on a powerless gospel. Where it remains only a story that saves us but leaves us prideful and doesn't transform us. Gossip and slander depends on a religiosity that says, I earned my salvation through my wise choices. I am now proving my goodness. I am superior. Communion, the Lord's table, which we are about to participate in now, is like anti-slander, anti-gossip medicine, eroding the foundation of superiority, which is necessary for those two sins. His body was broken for you. His blood was spilled for you. You needed to be rescued. I needed to be rescued as much as anyone else. How dare we gossip and slander others? So before you remember his sacrifice, before you get up out of your chair, if you're a follower of Jesus and you have turned from your sins and you have put Christ as the leader of your life, Lord of your life, before you do that, I want you to do this. I want you to ask yourself the question, why do I gossip? Why do I slander? Why do I listen to those things? It has the potential of really uprooting some things in each one of us. Some pride, a sense of superiority that shouldn't be there for the follower of Jesus. By God's grace, I pray that he would eliminate from our mouths and from our ears all gossip and slander so that you and I could really love each other, really care for one another. So for some of us, we may have to confess a sense of superiority, and I have good news for you. Jesus died for our sense of superiority, and he's willing and ready to forgive. So ask yourself those questions. Why do I gossip? Why do I slander? And why do I listen to them? You're going to get up out of your chair. You're going to go to the table that's closest to you. If you are not a follower of Jesus this morning, I'm just so glad you're here. I hope that something this morning has touched your heart. Because what you need and what we all need is to encounter the living Christ. And that's our prayer for you. And if you can't get up out of your chair, just put your hand up and someone will come to you. Okay, ask yourself those questions. This is, by the way, I want to remind you, this is not the time for talking to your neighbor. This is the time for you to be asking some questions of yourself. It's time between you and God. Let's get ready to remember the cross. All right, go ahead. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we admit before you that we have participated in gossip and slander. We have not just produced it, we have listened to it. And we've made it easy for others to speak it into our ears. We have welcomed it. And so, Father, forgive us. And I pray and ask that you would help us to remember the cross. That we would remember that we needed saving too. That we are no better than anyone else. That you would eliminate gossip and slander from our mouths and from our ears. Help us instead to use our mouths to build each other up and strengthen each other and encourage each other as you've intended us to do. Or may we be a loving church, a church that is humble enough to be far removed from gossip and slander. We thank you for your body that was broken for each of us. Everyone take and eat. And we thank you for the blood of a new covenant, a covenant of grace that you have brought to us. Everyone take and drink.